Okay, a very good afternoon to everyone. Welcome back to the Youth Worship Service. You know, one question that I'm asking myself this afternoon is, how can we make the worship of God this afternoon meaningful? How can we make the worship of God meaningful this afternoon? Psalm 100, verse 4 to 5 tells us that, you know, we can come before the presence of the Lord with thanksgiving, with praise, to be thankful to Him and to bless His name. You know, and as I prepared my own heart and mind to worship the Lord this afternoon, what were my reasons? And drawn from the same passage, it is that our God is good. Our God is merciful, and His truth is for everlasting. Some of us, we have had wonderful holidays. Some of us, the holidays may have been for studying, but our reason should not be whether the holidays were good. It should be whether our God is good. And that is something that we can all agree on. We have a God who is good. Just this week that passed, YPG1 went for an outing. And days before the outing, the weather forecast was thundery showers, and we thought, oh no, how, you know, should we have wet weather program? But you know, on the day itself, it was just cloudy. Prior to the program, cloudy. During the outdoor activity, the game segment, cloudy. And it only started to rain when we were just next to the restaurant for dinner. And it thunderstorm, lightning, thunder, heavy rain, it poured over Pasir Ris Park. And it stopped when we needed to leave the restaurant. You know, as I look back on that Wednesday, I can't help but testify that our God is good. And maybe during this month of June, if you look back, you reflect, you can have your own reason to say that our God is good. And you know, may worship today be something precious and meaningful as we have such reasons to worship the Lord. Well, let's prepare our hearts and minds to worship Him. Thank you. Let's open this time with a word of prayer. Let's pray together. Dear God and Heavenly Father, this afternoon we want to open this time in a word of prayer and to testify and bear witness that you are a good God. Your mercy is everlasting, and your truth endures to all generations. Father, as we hold these reasons in our hearts and minds this afternoon, may we enter your presence with thanksgiving and praise. And as we are thankful and as we bless your name this afternoon, we pray that by your mercy you would accept the worship that we would offer. Hear this our prayer in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome back to Youth Worship. I'm Lorraine, and this is Ryan. And even though we are dressed in the same colour, coincidentally, we actually don't have a lot of similarities. But we managed to find three similarities, and we would like to share them with you today. So the first is that both Ryan and I love to eat meat, and specifically the roast meats from this place called 88 Hong Kong Roast Meat Specialist. So this is the place, and that's the meat. And in Ryan's words, the char siu has a good fat to meat ratio. So you should try this place. Got our approval.
And you know, the second similarity that both Laurie and I have is that we've actually danced together. Yeah, we have not been attending private breakdancing classes together, but we actually had the privilege to act in last year's junior camp sketch. Let me show you a video, short video. It was really such a joy to serve together with Lorraine. You know, another similarity, our third similarity that both of us have is that we are both really glad to be here at Youth Worship, worshiping with all of you. You know, this afternoon, my reason for praising the Lord is because of His presence in our lives. Last week, we read about Moses' prayer for the tribe of Joseph, and we also recounted the life that Joseph lived. You know, Joseph faced many challenges. He was betrayed by his own brothers and was sold to a foreign land to become a slave. And he was also wrongfully accused for a crime he did not commit and was even thrown into jail. However, we also read about how the Lord was always with Joseph through each and every difficulty that he faced. Recorded in Genesis 39, it was mentioned four times that the Lord was with Joseph. You know, the Lord also specially blessed him and helped him to prosper even under difficult circumstances. You know, personally, Joseph's life was a reminder to myself of the promise of God's presence. Over the years, this promise has become something really special to my heart. The Lord has been with me through every milestone in my life, even amidst the difficulties and challenges that I faced. One challenge that I found particularly difficult to overcome was during my time in National Service. Because of my unit's very densely packed training schedule, we were extremely stretched during our training. And you know, as a result, I was really just so tired. During that time, each week, I struggled to drag myself to church. And over time, I found myself slowly giving in to the temptation of skipping church to rest. I stopped attending the Saturday programs in church, and I even slept in on some Sundays. And you know, because of this spiritual and physical exhaustion, I started drifting away from the church and the Lord. And you know, during this time, I felt so alone. And honestly, I was really, really discouraged with the state of my own faith. But you know, through it all, the Lord never gave up on me. Even though I felt like I had drifted far from the Lord, you know, God never withdrew His love, and He always remained close to me. the Lord expressed His presence through many people in church who reached out to me. They lovingly shared precious verses from His Word. And one of these verses was Isaiah chapter 41, verse 13, which reads, "For I, the Lord, your God, will hold your right hand and saying to you, fear not, I will help you." You know, this verse brought a great sense of comfort to my heart. Knowing that the Lord has promised that He will hold me close was just so uplifting to hear. And it was through His Word where I realized that His presence was far more comforting than any earthly comfort or reassurance that I had longed for. You know, this lesson helped me treasure the Lord's presence so much more deeply. The Lord remains faithful and close even at times when things are difficult. And you know, as I face difficulties ahead, I'm seeking to face them just as Joseph did, with an unwavering devotion to the Lord, knowing that the Lord will be with him and that He will uphold him. You know, it's truly such a privilege that the Lord will be close to us. And you know, there's no other reason that the Lord will draw near to us except for His great love for us. You know, what a wonderful privilege it is that He would lovingly and tenderly lead us for the rest of our lives. So, what then is a befitting response? You know, our heart should be drawn to praise Him. May we never take His presence for granted. And let's learn from the example of Joseph by seeking to remain faithful to Him. This afternoon, the first song we'll be singing is "To You Belong All Praise." We have a great God who is truly worthy of our worship. Let's lift our voices and sing praises to Him this afternoon. And because we haven't sang this song in a while, I just wanted to point something out. So in the chorus after the bridge, there'll be a line where the tune will go up. Yes, so please take note of this.
Thank you, musicians and the AV team, for enhancing worship this afternoon. God has promised His presence with us because He desires to be close to us. The real and perhaps more difficult question to answer is, do we stay close to Him? In our day-to-day earthly relationships, we know what it means to stay close. We stay close to people whom we treasure the most. We relate to these people closely, whether it be online through texting them, sending them reels on Instagram or TikToks that they might enjoy. And physically, we make time for these people despite our busy schedules. We share our joys, we share our struggles with these people. And we do them naturally because we value them. These human relationships bring companionship, comfort, and joy. The need to keep near to those around us is something that we appreciate and we understand. And I realize, however, that keeping near to God is what matters the most. And how near can we be to God? This is best seen in the lengths to which God would take to draw close to wretched sinners like us. It is seen through the sacrifice of His only Son that we may be washed clean, justified by faith, and brought near to God, as it says in Romans chapter 5. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. One way we can draw near to God is through prayer. And personally for me, I was driven to keep near to God at a time when I felt really overwhelmed by the challenges I faced at the work front, in the personal front as well. And I would spend about half an hour just penning down a prayer to God that I would make each morning for me to keep close to Him. And I would do this in a notebook. So I went back this week to look at some of these prayers in the notebook. And some prayers were made in confidence. For example, the first one. Yeah. So I would pray some of these prayers were really made in confidence, and I would pray for the Lord to keep close to me, for me to see Him, and that I will never forget His place in my life.
However, other prayers were also made with doubts and tears. And this was one of them. Was he there? Was he listening? So the prayers ended up more like questions. And though I prayed rather consistently, I saw how my prayers were not always made in faith. I'm grateful that my access to God was never dependent on my ability to draw close to Him. But He remained near, always ready to hear my prayers when I sought Him, and He sustained me through these trying times. And looking ahead, as I prepare for a transition from one workplace to another, I recognize that if He is not near me, all the preparatory work I would do would be in vain. I can prepare myself technically for the legal work ahead, but relying on my own wisdom and strength would only take me this far and no more. I can prepare myself emotionally for the people I would meet, and many of these people would be facing darkness of domestic conflicts and brokenness. Yet, without the Lord Jesus near, and without the light of His truth guiding me, it will be so easy to lose my way. The next song we'll be singing is Keep Me Near. It is a prayer born out of a need for His presence to be with us, and in recognition that our hearts are prone to wander from Him. In good times, we are prone to forget that all the goodness we experience flows from God's mercy. And hence the prayer in verse 1 is apt. Let me not forget whose mercies poured such grace upon my life. Keep me ever looking to You, always walking by Your side. In difficult times, we are prone to spiritual darkness, and doubts may arise about God, whether He sees, whether He cares for us. And we then pray in verse 2 of the song, let me not forget Your mercies in the shadows of despair. Keep me ever reaching for You, resting in Your tender care. And finally, in verse 3, we pray to keep near to the cross, for it is God's declaration of how close He desires for us to be to Him. Will we not draw near to Him? Let's take this song together, Keep Me Near.
Good afternoon, everyone. Today, we will be reading from Deuteronomy chapter 33, verses 18 and 19. In this passage, Moses continues to pray for the Lord's blessing upon Israel, specifically for the tribes of Zebulun and Issachar. Deuteronomy chapter 33. And of Zebulun he said, rejoice, Zebulun, in your going out, and Issachar in your tents. They shall call the peoples to the mountain. There they shall offer sacrifices of righteousness, for they shall partake of the abundance of the seas and of treasures hidden in the sand.
Well, thank you, everyone. Well, this segment is called the Pastoral Prayer. And for those of us who are a bit more new, this segment is when a pastor comes up and he prays for everyone at the youth worship. Now, before we even continue, we must ask ourselves one important question. Why do we even pray? I think we take this for granted. We always think that prayer is just a part of the worship service, and rightly it is so. But have you also asked yourself the deeper question? Why do we pray? Why do we even pray at all? Now, this afternoon, I just want to try to help you understand perhaps another reason to pray, and why we also pray with such humility, and the posture is literally bowing down before God. And let me just help you understand this for just a bit. Now, as we read the prayer of Moses in Deuteronomy 33, you see that every single prayer for all the tribes, they're not the same. He could have just made a blanket prayer. Okay, God bless them all. And Deuteronomy 33 will be very short. No scripture readers, just three words, bless them all. And three readers, three words, that's it. But prayer is never like that. Prayer is always specific. Prayer is always specially tailored. Now, what does this mean? It means that, one, as we look at all our different lives, do you know that God has a plan for each and every single one of us? Now, is that plan to do Indian dancing? Perhaps. But it's so much more than that. God has a plan and a special plan for each and every single one of us. Same as you read all the different tribes, God had a special plan for them. Behind that plan is this. It is purpose. God had a plan for them to fulfill a purpose, His divine purpose, which He has set forth for them. Now, that's how to understand the idea of prayer. So when Moses was praying, he understood that there was God's plan. He understood that each of the different tribes had a purpose to fulfill. Now, how do you understand these things? How do you discover these things for yourself? And that is why we come to this word called prayer. We can only find God's plan for us and His purpose for us in this realm of prayer. It's not a very far away thing, actually. Prayer is really just seeking the Lord in humility, sometimes even in desperation. Lord, I need You. I need You to show me the way forward. I don't know what my life can become, but Lord, I need You. And that is prayer. And that's why we pray. We pray as a youth worship. Why? Because there's so much at stake. You have so much of your years before you, and we must pray for you. Because God is going to reveal something in you. We don't know what that is exactly yet, but God's plan is definitely there for you. Now, as we pray, and how do you respond? We walk now in the path of righteousness. We cannot just pray. We must also live it out. So that's how we understand the whole context of prayer, at least in Deuteronomy 33. So that's why we pray. So even as we study about prayer, we are also learning how to pray. One, God has a plan. His purpose is revealed. We must pray. And as we do so, we walk in the path of righteousness, for in it is a blessing. Now that's how to understand prayer. Okay, so that's why we're going to pray. And how should we pray then? It is not with arrogance. Lord, You must hear me. Lord, because we are a church, You better hear us, Lord. No, it's humility. Because if the Lord does not reveal, we will die. There'll be no way forward. And it's only God who can bless, not anybody else. Okay? So let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we are just so thankful for the wonderful, divine, in-depth plans that You have for each and every single one of us. And Father, we humbly recognize that we cannot figure these things out by ourselves. We cannot figure out our lives ahead of us, and we need You to reveal these to us. And Father, we pray that You help us also understand the purpose that You have created us to fulfill. And Father, we pray that we will meaningfully one day be able to fulfill this purpose well. And Father, most of all, we pray that even as now we seek You in prayer, You help us to respond, to determine to walk in the path of Your righteousness, to walk in the path of Your blessing. And Father, this is our prayer, Father, that one day You will truly help us to wonderfully fulfill the plans and purpose that You have for us, that truly Your name may be lifted on high, Your glory may be so evident to all around us. We commit our lives into Your hands. We commit the people of every single person here into Your hands as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, thank you to each one who has played their part in this afternoon's worship service. Today, our text is a short text. It's taken from Deuteronomy 33, verses 18 and 19. And in these two verses, which Teddy has kindly read just now, we see Moses making a prayer for two tribes. It's a combined prayer for Zebulun and Issachar. And this was a blessing which these two tribes may experience. in their future. And one of the things that we need to bear in mind as we read and as we study these two verses is that this was uttered by Moses in the context of prayer. And what this means is that the successful futures of Zebulun and Issachar were not a certainty. Their successful futures were not a given, but a possibility. I say that again. The successful futures of Zebulun and Issachar were not a certainty. They were not a given, but it was a possibility. Both tribes would still need to fulfill certain conditions before they may be blessed by God. So that's what we're going to look at in these two verses as we also read the prayer that was made by Jacob in Genesis 49. But this afternoon, our message title is this: They Shall Offer Sacrifices of Righteousness. Today we will learn about the relationship between righteousness and God's blessings. What is that relationship between these two things? And secondly, we will also learn of some expressions of righteousness which leads to God's blessings. So these are, hopefully, these are the two things that I'll be able to bring across and we will be able to learn. Okay? But before we look at the two prayers, let's go to God in prayer. Let's open this time with a word of prayer. Dear God and Heavenly Father, we pray this afternoon for your mercies. Your mercy to help us understand these passages in Genesis 49 and also in Deuteronomy 33. We also ask for your mercies that we may learn important lessons that could make a difference in our lives today. Hear this, our prayer. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen. The first thought that I would like to share with each one is this word called future. The futures of Zebulun and Issachar. Now, if we were to turn to Genesis 49 and we look at what Jacob actually mentioned about both sons and their families, let me read this for us. Genesis 49, verses 13, 14, and 15. Zebulun shall dwell by the haven of the sea. He shall become a haven for ships, and his border shall adjoin Sidon. Issachar is a strong donkey, lying down between two burdens. He saw that rest was good and that the land was pleasant. He bowed his shoulder to bear a burden and became a band of slaves. Now what we see here is Jacob catching a glimpse of the possible futures for both of his sons. What was remarkable was that this was actually mentioned while they were still in Goshen, Egypt. I'd like to show you all a picture of a map. Okay. I don't know if you all can use the cursor, but on the left, in the middle of the picture, you can see Goshen, right? That's a very fertile area in Egypt. Okay, and while this picture might show you where the different tribes are located, in Genesis 49, they are still in Egypt. Okay, the reason why I wanted this picture is because it shows both Goshen and also Sidon, which is right at the top next to Geshur. Yes. And what is remarkable, thank you, you can close the thing. What was remarkable was that the children of Jacob and their families, they were still in Egypt. But Jacob caught a glimpse of how one day, possibly, his son and Zebulun's family and the tribe would relocate near the coast, even near Sidon. And the fact that he caught a glimpse of that while still in Egypt, that is remarkable. But we must understand that it is just a glimpse. Jacob's glimpse of Zebulun's future was associated with the sea. It would be like seafaring tribe or a maritime industry. And Jacob envisioned that Zebulun shall reside by the coast. Zebulun shall dwell by the haven of the sea, and his border shall adjoin Sidon. You know, in this glimpse of the future, it wasn't just the location of this tribe, but it was also the possible way they would make a living. And one of the things that Jacob was able to catch a glimpse of was that Zebulun shall become a haven for ships. Now, what does this actually mean? Potentially, Zebulun shall become a harbor for shipping vessels. And this was what the father, Jacob, caught a glimpse of when it came to Zebulun, one of his sons. He would become part of the maritime industry. He would become a haven for ships, a harbor for shipping vessels. So Jacob caught a glimpse of location, but also how they would make a living. Now, what about the glimpse that Jacob had of Issachar's future? Issachar's future was associated with the land, quite different from Zebulun. It was associated with the land. And this was Jacob's understanding of Issachar. He likened him to a strong donkey. And what Jacob saw in his son was that he had the capacity and the readiness for work. Hard work. Next, he saw that rest was good. To have rest from his enemies and to dwell in safety was considered good by Issachar. And in that safety, his focus would be on cultivating the land. To him, the land was pleasant. And so this was Jacob's understanding of his son, Issachar. But what would be Issachar's way of making a living? It would be to labor. One son would enter the shipping industry, be a harbor for shipping vessels. The other one would make this choice to labor. Issachar's tribe was willing to set their hands to do burdensome work. They worked as hard and diligently as slaves would. Very different, right? Both sons. Possibly different inclinations, different passions, different pursuits, different makeup, possibly. But as a father, this was Jacob's glimpse of the futures of his sons. Associated with the sea, associated with the land. Now, what Moses did was to build on this glimpse. And in Deuteronomy 33, second part of verse 19, we see what Moses, part of his prayer, "For they shall partake of the abundance of the seas." and of the treasures hidden in the sand. Now, what does this actually mean? We know that Jacob had a glimpse of the futures of Zebulun and Issachar. Moses prayed that they may be successful as they worked together. So one had a glimpse of their future. One prayed that their futures would have success. One caught a glimpse of their future. Moses prayed that their futures would have success. And how do we know this? He wrote this, "They shall partake of the abundance of the seas." What is this abundance? The abundance can be how the seas are teeming with life. And if they were to go into, let's say, hunting, for example, fishing, there would be the abundance of the seas, teeming with life. It could be the economic potential, trade, for example. You have access to all other countries, not just within your own area. And they would be able to partake of the abundance of the seas. They will be able to partake of the treasures hidden in the sand, things that cannot be seen on the surface. But those treasures are there. The potential for them to find and to retrieve these treasures is there. But they must work hard working at the land. And so Moses made this prayer of blessing, of success with their futures in mind. And this is the first thought that I'd like to share with you all. And is that it is this idea of the futures of these two tribes. The futures of these two tribes, because it is mentioned in the context of prayer, it's not a given, it's not a certainty. So, what else did Moses pray for? If the futures were not a given and not a certainty, how then did Moses pray? And one of the things that he wrote or he mentioned was this. They shall offer sacrifices of righteousness. While their futures may not be a given, may not be a certainty, there were things that the tribes would need to do. And righteousness fulfills the conditions for God's blessings. Righteousness fulfills the conditions for God's blessings. So while Moses would pray for their success, we know that success is not a given. Their future success was not a certainty. Because the tribes must actively do their part in fulfilling certain conditions in order to be blessed. Moses noted that they shall offer sacrifices of righteousness. This tells us that both tribes learned to be righteous before God. Only then would their sacrifices be accepted by the Lord their God. The blessings of God were contingent upon the righteousness of these two tribes, Zebulun and Issachar. And how do we know that this is so? How do we know that the blessings of God are contingent upon righteousness? And for us to understand this, let's turn to Deuteronomy 28. Deuteronomy 28 helps us understand where righteousness comes in. What is that relationship between righteousness and the blessings of God? And we read here in Deuteronomy 28, verses 1 and 2. "Now it shall come to pass if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. In verse 9, the Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself, just as he has sworn to you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. The blessings of God are contingent upon righteousness. And how was righteousness expressed? How can righteousness be expressed? And one of those ways is if these tribes diligently obey the voice of the Lord their God. The voice of the Lord, we can hear it. It does not mean that we obey the voice of the Lord. Obedience is also not the same as diligently obeying. It is so easy for us to hear the voice of the Lord, to disregard it, to hear and to reject. But here, Moses wrote what the Lord had taught the people, and it is to diligently obey the voice of the Lord their God. Secondly, if they carefully observe all his commandments which he commanded. To be careful in the way that we observe. We may observe, but we may not observe the details. We may observe, but we may observe haphazardly. Here, the word is to carefully observe. To carefully observe all his commandments which he commanded. And yet, this is still not enough. It's not enough just to obey and to observe, because it needs to become a part of our lives. And that's why it is also stated that if they walk in God's ways, to diligently obey, to carefully observe, and then to walk in God's ways. To walk means it becomes a part of their lives. It even becomes a part of the way they choose to work. And this was how the blessings of God becomes contingent upon their righteousness. Because if they do these things, if, then what happens? Then the blessing of God comes upon them and overtakes them. Then the Lord will establish them as a holy people to himself. This is where we see this conditional relationship, how the blessings of God are contingent upon their righteousness. And so, we understand that their futures may be blessed. How can they obtain this blessing? They must do the things that will fulfill the conditions of the blessings of God, which is righteousness. And if Zebulun and Issachar become wealthy and prosperous in the future, it would not be because of skill, resources, connections, and diligence alone. It would be because God set them on high and blessed them greatly. It will be because they exercise righteousness and holiness. You know, as young people, sometimes we are made to think that in order to succeed, we must have certain things, certain notches under our belt. whether it is CV, whether it is resume, whether it is portfolio, whether it is connections in life, I know this person or this person knows me. This can end up being a very worldly way of approaching the obtaining or the attainment of success. But we see here what the Lord's word tells us. And it is this. If we are seeking for the Lord's blessings, then what is it that these blessings are contingent upon? Righteousness. Now, the third thought that I would like to share with everyone is here found in verse 18. This idea of rejoicing. As the tribes experience success, should they experience success in the future, they were to choose to make faith responses. Not responses like that of the world, faith responses. And one of those ways that they can make a faith response would be to rejoice. Rejoicing was a natural and obvious choice they needed to make. Should they succeed, should they experience the success that Moses prayed for, they ought to rejoice. They were to rejoice that one was blessed in their going out, one was blessed in their tents. They can be very different. And yet, being different, working together, that potential to succeed was there. And should they succeed, they should rejoice. They should rejoice despite their differences. Sometimes we think, okay, if I'm in a glamorous role, I'm a harbor for ships, I can rejoice. I can succeed. But if I end up working with my hands, something menial perhaps, then my future is bleak. That's not true. Here, Moses was telling them, rejoice, should you succeed. Rejoice, despite your differences. You may have a future associated with the sea. You might have a future associated with the land. You might be involved with the shipping business, wow. Or you might be involved with hard labor. Should you succeed, and both of them, the potential to succeed was still there, they were to rejoice. Now, what are the ways that they could rejoice? And we see here in Deuteronomy 33, verse 19, they shall call the peoples to the mountain. Now, the mountain may not be stated specifically, but the mountain is a symbol of God's presence, His holiness, and His glory. And what these two tribes would do would be to draw others to come before the presence of their God, to know Him. They would invite not just their brethren, but the Gentiles to worship the God who blesses, to worship the God that would bless them. This was their expression of rejoicing. You see, it's very easy to rejoice the way that the world rejoices. Here, Moses was encouraging them, should you succeed, you choose this faith response. You rejoice. One. Two, worship. Worship not just private affair, but they shall call the peoples to the mountain. Perhaps the people that they work with in trade, in the shipping industry, they will reach out to them. Come and hear for yourself about the God who blesses, about the God who blessed my tribe and this other tribe. This was their way of responding, their expression of rejoicing. Now, another way that they would express this joy would be here. They shall offer sacrifices of righteousness. Now, how do we understand this? I mentioned earlier that this idea of righteousness is in the way that they would choose to live according to the word of God. But it's not just about life. It is not just about God's word. It becomes so much a part of them that it affects and impacts the way that they would work. And so when Moses speaks of they shall offer sacrifices of righteousness, what is it that Moses is actually saying? And try to follow me as I share with you this equation, okay? Their work, which was done in righteousness, would lead to fruits of righteousness. The work that they did in righteousness would lead to fruits of righteousness. Now, these fruits of righteousness would be offered to God as sacrifices of righteousness. The work that they did in righteousness would yield fruits of righteousness. These fruits could be the profits that they make. And from those fruits of righteousness, they would offer it to God as sacrifices of righteousness. And in giving back to God, they would remember Him as the source of their blessing. And here we see faith responses. Faith responses which they would choose to make should they succeed. They would rejoice. Not as the world would rejoice, but it is by faith they would rejoice. They would call the peoples to the mountain. They would want others to join them in their worship of God. They would give back to God in thanksgiving, in gratitude, in remembrance of Him. And you know, as we look at these two verses, verse 18 and verse 19, we see the possible futures of Zebulun and Issachar. And while their futures may not be a certainty, they have a part to play. And if they can play their part in fulfilling the conditions of God's blessings, they can be blessed. The future that was once a possibility might become a reality, but they have a part to play. They must fulfill that condition of righteousness. And should they succeed, they must learn to choose faith responses. Now, what are some relevant lessons that we can learn from this passage this afternoon? You know, as young people, you all yearn for good and successful futures. You want to do well in school. Some of you, soon you will be looking for work, perhaps. And you want a good job, you want a good career, you want to do well in school, in your CCAs, in your exams. While we may yearn for this, how can we achieve this? And that's the question. How can we achieve this? And I think one thing that we can learn is that we can learn to pray and bring our request to God most humbly. We can pray and tell God that we want to succeed. We want to do well. We want a good future. But prayers alone will not guarantee God's blessings. With that prayer, there is a part that we must play. And that part that we must play is that we must fulfill certain conditions before we may be blessed by God. And what is that condition? And it is summarized in that one word, righteousness. To live out our faith in righteousness. And in Deuteronomy 28, we see how we can do this. To obey the voice of the Lord, or His word diligently, to observe carefully, to walk in His ways. To live out our faith in righteousness, but also to let that sense of righteousness affect the way we work as well. To work with righteousness. And when we seek to do our part to fulfill the condition of God's blessings, let us choose to have a faith response when we do succeed in the future. It's important for us to determine, this is how I want to respond when I succeed one day. Because there is always that danger of rejoicing as the world does. You know, I just came back from Australia and I was having lunch with two other families. This was at a truffle farm, and so I don't really know them, but we began to have conversation with one another. And you know, they would speak of how the first half of the year has gone well for them and their families, and the way that they celebrate, it's not just an Aussie thing. It is a worldly thing. They celebrate by getting drunk. They celebrate by going wild. They celebrate by painting the town red, doing things that may not be wise, doing things that may be a bit silly. But our challenge must be to choose faith responses. By rejoicing, by remembering God in worship and thanksgiving. This is how we can respond, by faith, when we succeed. To rejoice, not as the world does, but to rejoice as we remember God in worship, in thanksgiving. Well, let's go to God in prayer. Dear God and Heavenly Father, we want to thank you that this afternoon we can learn the part that we must play. Should we desire to succeed in life, we give thanks that we can pray. We give thanks that you are a God who hears our prayers and a God who also blesses. But may we never forget that we have a part to play as well. May we seek to fulfill this condition, having prayed for blessing. May we live out our faith in righteousness, to observe your words, to obey your words, and to walk in your ways. Not just to live righteously, but to see that in our work as well. And Father, we pray that even as young people, we would begin to prepare ourselves, to gear ourselves, to make a good choice in responding by faith. That when we succeed, by your grace, we would rejoice. We would remember you in worship and in thanksgiving. May these lessons be something that we would learn and may impact our lives as well. Hear this, our prayer. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen. Thank you. Oh, young people, after hearing this message, is this something that you want to see in your own life, second half of this year? Maybe you look back on the first half and candidly, you find that actually there was not that much of righteousness that you can speak of. See, one of the things that I'm learning is that righteousness cannot just be articulated. It's got to be lived out. And if the first half of the year, you realize actually there wasn't righteousness that I've been living, well, may you be encouraged, second half of the year, press on, return to the Lord, repent, and seek to live out your life with righteousness. Work with righteousness. Well, may you be blessed. Have a good weekend. See you tomorrow.